A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
I'm Mark Quinn, and we're Private Podcast.
And you're listening to the All Elite Podcast.
Yo, you're listening to All Elite Podcast. Boom. And it is the worst podcast ever. We live!
Hi, this is Brandon Cutler, and you are listening to the All Elite Podcast.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the All Elite Podcast right here on the No Holds Barred Network, your source for all wrestling podcast content and more. I am your host, as always, your self-proclaimed greatest host, Kyle Masters, always joined by my co-host, she, the EVP Giggles, the Heartbreak Chick, and the queen of the indies herself. That's Tiffany.
I need some coffee.
I
need some coffee right now, seriously. Yeah, so.
I could have used some like mid-pay-per-view coffee last night.
Seriously. Like, oh my God.
I was falling asleep. It was bad. I'm like, man.
That's bad. It was such a good pay-per-view.
It was so good.
Us on the East Coast, we suffer. Like, you know, our girl, Maria, stayed up to watch the Young Bucks match. So really? It was
What was her time over there? Because she's in Denmark.
So she's 6 hours ahead of us in the East Coast. So I think, I don't know, it must have been like 4 o'clock in the morning and I was messing with her. I'm like, go to bed.
Wow. So she like pulled like a New Japan, like for us, yeah, when we have to watch New Japan is how she has to watch AEW, yes. Man. What a trooper.
Yes. Yes. Maria, that's exactly what Brad said.
You are a trooper.
Yes.
But guys, welcome to the All Elite Podcast, where myself and Tiff talk about everything in that AEW world. talk about Dynamite, and like this, we talk about the pay-per-views, we do predictions and review, and we're doing, clearly, if you're watching the YouTube version of this podcast, the Full Gear review from last night's show. I only had to think about that for a sec. Then
there's a lot of wrestling going on.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I kind of needed a coffee near the end there. I feel like I don't want to nitpick on this. This is not something I really want to nitpick about, but me and Tiff bring it up all the time on this podcast, how we feel that quantity or quality over quantity is a big thing in wrestling, especially right. Like if you're coming from like before AEW, WWE was the big problem with that. Like they were going to like 12 hour pay-per-views basically. And like, you should be dead tired by an event. Even if you were at the event, like, you know, like I've been to those long pay-per-views and it's so much on you. Like right. it's hard. And I felt like I kind of felt a little bit of that with this pay-per-view. Like we stretched it to, I think the pay-per-view ended like 11:40. The event started at kind of like 7:30 if you count the buy-in. I'm just like, okay, that's a little bit too long. I feel you need to like cram it into a solid 3 hours, and it's got to end on that 3 hour mark.
Now, I mean, I get it with AEW, like we're not getting a bunch of pay-per-views a year. We're pretty much getting what, 4 pay-per-views a year. So like I said, with people, us like on the East Coast, and then we do have our friends that are like in Europe and all over the world that are watching it too. Like I said, we were just discussing our girl Maria, who does a lot of the fan art for AEW. You know, she's ahead and she's watching, you know, she went to bed after the Young Bucks match and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. So maybe like start a little earlier. And I get it, like you start for us, it was 7 o'clock, and I get it. You're putting all your vignettes and trying to give the build within an hour. Maybe you should push it till 6:30. Like 6:30, I think half an hour is good for a buy-in, and then 7 o'clock you start the show so that it could end maybe a little, you know, like after.
I feel like the red carpet 11. Is like extremely unnecessary.
I didn't even watch the red carpet.
Like, I thought that was just going to be like a one-time deal. Like, the one big pay-per-view year, they do like a red carpet special. Sure, do what you got to do. But every pay-per-view, you're getting a little out of hand here. Like, you don't need a red carpet special. And they didn't even hype it. Like, they just announced it on the day of the pay-per-view. Oh, tune in at 6 o'clock for the red carpet special. And it's like, yeah. Why?
I was too busy driving, so I didn't even know that was going on. So.
But, like, why? Like, why do we need, like, nothing happens on it. So, I don't know.
You know what? I get it. Like I said, we're getting a pay-per-view like 4 times a year. So at least it's not all the time. So I guess, you know, we can bin and grab. And I mean, me personally, like I felt that this was their best pay-per-view of 2020. That's my personal opinion of it. I know some people said All Out was their favorite, or maybe Revolution.
I think Revolution's still my favorite.
You know, like it really depends. Me personally, like I loved last night. I was all into it. I was shocked with a lot of the placements of the matches, which I think took a lot out of me. So
yeah, that was weird. Especially right? how do you open with Kenny and Hangman? You only go like 15 minutes. That really threw me in a loop.
I know. It's I was shocked because I was talking about it in our prediction show that should have ended it off. And I get it. And we talked about this last night that us with, especially like me not watching WWE anymore. And I completely washed my mind of certain aspects of what we're used to. And I think we're a lot used to certain ways of how it should be done. And yes, the title match should end off the pay-per-view. I was kind of thinking that when I said this on the prediction show that Kenny and Hangman is something that we all was looking forward to, that it should have closed off the show because it would have been nice that, well, since
and you should have had John Moxley come out,
right, come out. Yeah, like that's what my mentality was, different mentality than what we're used to. But apparently Moxley went to Tony Khan and says it has to end on the title.
Yeah,
so
I'm not mad about that. I'm just, I really thought Hangman and Kenny would get a lot more time, and I don't know what the deal was at. I don't know why they, I mean, those two could have gone longer. They gave a lot of time to the tag team match, which was well deserved because that was an instant classic. Darby and Cody got a pretty good amount of time. I think it was like around 17 minutes. But I'm sitting there going like, okay, like after the pay-per-view, I'm going, why didn't Kenny and Hangman get more time? Like, I felt like Orange Cassidy and Silver after watching them, like they could have put that in the buy-in. It was only a 9-minute match and nothing really came out of that. I'm like, okay, well, like, was this really necessary? Like,
it was because, like I said, I felt worn out after Hangman and Kenny because it was such a great match. So I feel like it was a perfect placement to kind of like calm us down a little bit, get a little humor, you know, so we could have some laughs and then like build up to more matches. But again, like someone, me, who enjoys the indie scene so much that I was like, oh, this is like a typical independent match right here that we're watching between John Silver and Orange Cassidy, which has happened previously before in the indie scene. So I get it, because like I said, I was worn out, and especially the fact that we had the NWA match before, which was solid, and I didn't expect any less from it. So I get it, but you're trying to compact everything within, was it with like 4 hours, this pay-per-view? So
something like that. Yeah. If you include the buy-in,
almost
it was
4 hours.
Yeah. I don't really know. Sheeta and like Nyla did nothing for me. Like that, it was just,
you know,
it was slow. The momentum was not there at all. I didn't feel good throughout the entire match. It just, I don't know what was going on with that. Like we've seen Nyla and Sheeta fight before. Something was off in this match. I couldn't get behind it. I couldn't get excited for it. I appreciated the way they did the ending. I thought that was clever, and probably the best part of the entire match was the ending of the match. The way they did with Nyla, like doing like Sheeta's finishing move and all that. I thought that was pretty well done. It's just, I'm like, eh. After I was done watching, I'm like, this kind of felt like an episode of Dynamite. Like, it didn't feel pay-per-view worthy.
I had said this also at the prediction show that I didn't really care for this match. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, you know, something's wrong here that you're kind of building more on an NWA championship match than your own women's division. And I think that's a no-no. And I get it that it's like you are opening your doors, right? Like Tony Khan had talked about this on the press. Yeah, he's open to working with other promotions, which is
Don
great.
Callis is on commentary.
Right.
Like, what?
Everybody was like flipping out about it. So, like the possibilities of what we can have of Impact Wrestling and like the women's division in Impact. If you like associate that a little bit with the AEW roster, I think, you know, we can be pretty solid here. But in reality, like we talked about this, that we both agreed that Sheeta was going to retain here because we were like, okay, so if Nyla takes it, you know, then what? Like, where are we going to go? So, again, being at Brad and Margaret's house last night, they were talking about Brad felt that Britt's got to take it off of Sheeta. Because who else, right? We always question this. Who's taking the belts off certain wrestlers? So who, in everybody's opinion here, and sound off. I see a bunch of you guys in the chat. Sound off. Let me know, like, who should take the belt? Like, me, like, I would love Chris Statlander, but I don't think she's coming back till next year.
No,
like,
she tweeted or she said some, I think it was a tweet, that she's hoping to be back by Revolution. So her recovery time is still a long ways away.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But besides Britt Baker, I mean, she's a good character. Wrestling wise, she's still a little green. I can't think of anybody else that could take the belt off Sheeta, unless Serena Deeb eventually lost the belt, because last night she was interviewed and she said she plans to be the head person in this division. She wants to be the best in the division. So I don't know if that's a foreshadow that maybe eventually we're going to get Serena and Hikaru go at it. I'd love to see that. I think a wrestling match with those two styles together would be pretty good. I wasn't feeling the whole Nyla and Sheeta thing last night. It just wasn't.
I think it was a lot better than what I personally expected, because I didn't really care too much. Like, you know, originally I was like, it's just going to be another match. I'm not really excited about this. And again, like I said, I don't think it's right that, you know, we're building more on NWA title, and I get it. Like,
I just think it was a dynamic, though. It was a,
not
like, Sheeta had to slow down for Nyla, and that's not how Sheeta wrestles. She's a fast pace, like high striking girl, and for her to have kind of come down to Nyla's level, I think that's what kind of creates that non-chemistry between the two, because they did have a good match last time at, was it Double or Nothing, the last time they had a match, yeah, or All Out, whatever it was. But to me, it's like, okay, like if she has got to come down to that level, she's not good at that level. I'll say it. So I'm coming from a Sheeta fan. Sheeta is not good at a slow pace. She's good at a very high pace style of wrestling, and that's where Serena Deeb would come in. And if you put those two together, you're gonna have a really sick high paced match. And
but even Allison Kay with her match as well, like it was so great. And Margaret said in the chat, she says, "I feel they need a good heel to take it off Sheeta. If they sign Allison Kay, she would be perfect." Right. So and she is like free agent right now. So like the possibilities are endless. And then obviously like Thunder Rosa coming out last night, we're going to continue that feud with Deep. So why not with Allison Kay? We need somebody like believable, but we also need better builds, because we're not getting, you know, it's really, I think that's the issue. It's not so much the roster. We need better builds for the women to focus a little bit more. You know, and it's crazy. Like I was seeing like Saturday morning, like stuff from Stardom, and it was like, wow. I was like, this is what we need. Like different styles of wrestling in the ring, that like, it totally excited me. And then like, I don't watch Stardom, but I've seen a bunch of stuff from Stardom, and I was like, wow. You know,
they're really getting really hurting without Riho, Yuka, I thought they had a third one. Riho and Yuka Sakazaki are a big hurt in the division right now, because they could be a big factor playing right now as well. So,
well, B was also another one that was So, and then Jamie Hayter, like I would say, like they were dropping the ball on that. Like, why didn't they sign her?
Yeah, I don't get that. She looked good in that one match she had, and she looked like her character, like she was living her character when like she came out and she was like doing like the crying stuff to the fans. Oh my gosh, she was good. She was really good, but she's really young too. So hopefully she does get picked up and they kind of look into something like that. So we'll see.
Yeah, like Margaret brought up Ada Jay, and like that I had said too, that I was like, okay, so I get it, she's still new, but hey, why not? Something different. Like,
well, they are
I
doing mean, something different this Wednesday. Cycling. They're doing Tay Conti against Red Velvet, which is, that's okay. Like, we're getting two new talent. We're not getting an old talent getting put over. We're not getting the same old matches we've been getting. That's a brand new, fresh match.
But can we have more than 5 minutes on Dynamite?
I hope that gets the time. Yeah. And Tay Conti is actually, I know she's, I'm a big fan of hers, and I'm not just saying this because I'm biased here. She's solid in the ring. Her jiu-jitsu background really makes her look good in the ring. So she's not just a pretty face. Thank God. Other than that, again, like I said, maybe could have been condensed a little bit more. It was weird opening with Omega and Paige, and I don't know, just with those two, I felt, because of the story, again, I think this kind of just proves like the story's not over between Adam and Kenny. We saw that in a tag team match when Kenny came out and Hangman kind of was like lingering in the tunnel, but didn't exactly come fully out. And I was waiting. You know what was driving me nuts? You could see like Hangman walking in the background. I was waiting for the one camera to zoom in on him, and nothing happened. I'm like, what the hell? Why was there no camera pointing at Hangman?
Because it was purposely meant to
I know, be like, I know, I know it was, like, but it was driving me nuts. And sitting there going, fucking do it. But yeah.
But it's good, but that's what I'm saying. It's good storytelling, right? Like, this is what I've been saying, right? That this is what's going to happen. And we're getting full circle, right? Like, we're getting the full circle. We're going back to last full gear of Kenny Omega and Moxley. Like, it's full circle, baby. Like, I was really thinking about a lot of this last night, and that's all I kept saying. It's like long-term booking when you sit and you really think about it. And we go back into the whole thing, even with the Cody Rhodes match and Darby, right? Think about it. Darby's first, you know, opponent was Cody, and he said it, that we were like, why Darby? And his answer was, because he was hungry enough. So to win the title from Cody last night, it was a smart move, because you have to sit here and really think. There's your storytelling right there. Long-term booking, man.
Yeah. So, but as in terms of Omega and Adam here, so Kenny didn't come out full cleaner. Like, I hoped he would, but I think that's eventually that's coming. I think Kenny was paying. I don't know if anyone caught it. I caught it a little bit, and I had my buddy No Sell Phil over in Mrs. Master's sunroom to watch the event, which is good. I'm glad there was some way we could watch the event in these horrible times. But he came over and he was watching it with me, and he noticed it too. I think Kenny was paying tribute to Undertaker last night. He did a couple of Undertaker like innuendos. Like one, his outfit kind of resembled Undertaker's outfit, even in the silhouette. Two, he did the whole Undertaker like last ride pose as he was leaving. Like there was a couple of things. I think he was paying tribute because this is 30th anniversary. I guarantee you he was paying tribute, like low key. I think he was.
You're such a WWE mark.
That's not being a WWE mark.
You're such a WWE.
That has nothing to do with that. That has something to paying tribute to a guy who's like an absolute legend in the business, no matter what company you're for.
Yeah, even like Brad said in chat, because I'm sure Kenny doesn't care about the Undertaker. That's what I'm saying. I was like, where are you getting this?
It was because weird. I wasn't the only one to see it because he saw it too. My buddy Phil saw it too, and I didn't mention it to him. He said it first. Mm-hmm. Okay, you go back and you watch, and then you'll see. Anywho, so
what is this WWE you speak of? I don't know what it is.
Anyways, we're gonna wonder why or when Kenny does challenge Moxie for the championship, and we saw at the end of the pay-per-view, like that was like basically like full circle, and you saw like they even mentioned on commentary, Kenny was like coming to the ring, Moxie was inviting him in the ring, and Kenny's like, no, I'm not gonna fight you in this environment like we did last year. Like when we fight, it's gonna be an actual wrestling, like a pro wrestling match. So I thought that was pretty cool too, what they did at the end. But as for that I Quit match, man, that was some rough stuff. That was some interesting things. And I see. I know it's a common thing now in wrestling hardcore matches with the thumbtacks, but every single time I see a thumbtack spot, I cringe. Like I lock up, and I can feel like I can feel the thumbtacks into my back, and I'm very sensitive back there, so like if a thumbtack were to drive into my back like that, it would drive me absolutely nuts. And oh god, it's just bleh. And then like the one spot where Eddie grabbed a fistful of them and punched Moxley in the head, and then the one stuck to the top of his head. I was like, oh my god. It's like Jesus. But that wasn't a bad match. And even like it ended with that bulldog choke with the barbed wire.
Oh my god, it was crazy. But
that was a smart way to end it.
Shout out to Jack Ballard, who released all the ICW footage for the vignette before. So that was kind of really cool to see. Like we're like, ah, ICW. How
yeah, there's
cool
a young one
that?
Where Moxley was like yes, way back like, in the day. He's like still flipping off. Ago. Yeah, and he's like flipping off Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, ten years ago. That's what's or eight like eight, 10 years ago that this had happened. So it's pretty crazy.
It was a decent match though. Like did you hear Kingston before the match started? He's like, I'm gonna F you up, and he was yelling it, and I was like, oh my god.
That's like, the true New Yorker,
he was
man.
Intense.
That's the homie. That's the, you know, true New Yorker right there.
It wasn't as hardcore as last year, but I thought it was a good I Quit match. I thought they did a very good job.
It wasn't going to be anything like last year's match.
I know that. That's what I just said. I just said I know it wasn't like last year's match, but I love the way they did it. I thought it was
just
good.
Like what we said the other day, that it's just, you know, they tried to do it last year and, you know, it just didn't work here, and then that's okay, you know? So it's not everybody's cup of tea.
The lights, I thought was it the light spot was in this one, this match, or was that the tag team match?
The what?
There's the light, that whatever that light fixture thing was, that the glass didn't exactly break. Oh, no, that was during Cody and Darby Allin, that's right. Which we'll talk about then. We'll talk about that match. So Darby's the TNT champion, which I picked Darby. I'm still a tad bit shocked that, like, in the back of my head during the whole match, I'm like, I bet you Cody just wins it again, and we're going to continue this cycle with Cody as TNT champion. But I'm glad that they did what they did, finally. I'm sure you were happy. All I was thinking of was you, like, you know, being so proud and happy for Darby, and you know, he did the whole kneeling down and presenting the title to Darby. That was awesome. And then,
and he got very emotional. It was really great. So, and I love the car that was all spray painted. So like,
who was a driver? Like, he was like painted like Darby too. And like when they went back to the car at the end,
I'm like, Trent's dad.
My buddy Phil's like, he's like, can you imagine if the driver was still there?
Oh my God. It's just crazy. But we all knew that Ricky Starks and Taz and Brian Cage were going to come out. And I was calling it that Hobbs was going to come out. And, you know.
So they're, I don't know what's going on with this whole feud. Like, who is Darby going to feud with? Is he going to feud with Brian Cage, or is he going to feud with Ricky Starks? Is Will Hobbs going to feud with one of them? Is Cody going to feud with one of them?
I think we're going to get a tag match first, I would assume.
With what, Cody and Will Hobbs?
No, Darby and Will Hobbs, I would think. Unless we get like...
So where does Cody fit, though? Like, Cody was like a big part of this whole beatdown. I was so confused. I'm like, hey, there's a lot of people in this beatdown. What's going on now? Like, what's the future out of this?
I mean, like, again, like I said, I see like a lot of possibilities that happen here. So I feel like tag's going to happen and, you know, Ricky and Darby. I don't know. I just don't see it with Brian Cage yet. And, you know, what's going on with Lance Archer? Like, there's so many things like.
And Lance Archer's going to go for the main title. That's what he's made clear. As for Cody, I don't know where he goes from here. Like, I don't know where his next step is. Like, is Darby's. Is Darby's feud?
So is Cody, does he go after like Brian Cage for the FSW belt though?
FTW?
I mean FTW belt? F-S-W. Sorry, I got independent wrestling on the brain. I'm sorry. Like, there's so much wrestling. I can't like belts and I'm sorry. Yeah, FTW. Sorry.
F the sick world. It took Alex Trebek today. F the sick world.
Oh God.
I'm upset. I don't know. I'm curious to see where he...
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. Because old ideas aren't cutting it anymore. This new year, we need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's still ours to win. Start different at GoDaddy.com. A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
You know, the belt that in, you know, me and a bunch of people's opinions that were like, what's the point of the belt? Because it's like not even get defended and like it like means nothing to me. It's just like here. Trophy for
an FTW. If Cody wins the FTW belt, I swear to God.
Well, he can't challenge for the AEW title. So where do you go from here? Does he go back? Well, he's have to like,
you know what, he
turn his way up. But that could be a possibility that him and Brian Cage could kind of go after that. And why not?
You know what he can do now, though, and they did it last night, is now he can be referred to as Cody Rhodes. I was shocked. I thought he said in that Dynamite that he wasn't going to do that, and then they referred him as the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes. I'm like, okay, that's a good way to get the crowd popped. And I'm like, okay, but what happened to just the American Nightmare Cody? Like, I like just the American Nightmare Cody. You know, he's the American Nightmare Cody, and you know, I'm the Canadian Daydream Kyle. So we, you know, we have a lot in common, me and Cody. American Nightmare, Canadian Daydream. You know, that's my new nickname. I want Justin Roberts to say that for me.
Okay, we'll do that.
The Canadian Daydream.
Oh, Lord. I mean, what I need right now. Yeah, Kyle is reaching.
No, I'm not. It's facts. Facts. Okay.
Anyway.
Anywho, rehu. You got to say the right words. Anywho, it's late, rehu. No, it's not that late. It's only 9:28.
I'm tired. I'm ready for bed.
Eastern time for those watching and confused, looking at the clock going, it's not 9:28. My favorite match, to be honest, it's a toss-up between the Young Bucks match and the Elite Deletion. I'm giving it to the Elite Deletion. That was probably the most entertaining and fun match to watch
throughout the whole event. I had so much fun with this match. There was so much stuff going on. And I like the fact that we saw Private Party. We saw Ortiz and Santana, you know, and then it's like, if you watched from like Impact, you had Hurricane Helms and
Gangrel.
Oh my God. Like, I've seen him in person so many times as well. Like, it's just crazy. It's just, wow.
So I guess he took a break from his pornos and decided to be in the Elite Deletion match. Yeah. This was so much fun. I had so much fun watching that. I was curious to see how they were going to do it. It literally was a healthy mix of like wrestling and cinematic stuff, which was awesome. Like from the beginning with the monster truck, then you had
the golf cart,
the fireworks. I was losing it. I was pissing myself laughing when he was chasing Sammy with the fireworks and shooting him at him. I was losing my shit.
But even what's her name? She was saying like there's fire going on in the backyard and stuff, and I'm like, oh my God. I was like, this is crazy. Like,
and in the ending, like with they're in the deletion pod or whatever he calls it, I forgot what he called that area. That was really cool. And they even like paid homage to the original chair shot that Sammy gave Matt. Matt gave it back to him. There was the blood in the back of the head that with the two tables, you know, that was, you know, playing back from that original injury. They did a really good job with this match. So, yeah. It was exactly what we said it was going to be. It was going to be Matt Hardy's creative mind with the production for AEW. It was solid. It was so good. Even the ending, like when them celebrating, it was hilarious.
Right.
This was probably my favorite match of the whole night. And it's a close tie, I guess I could say, actually, with the Bucks and FTR, which was such a good tag team match. Oh, my God. That lived up to this, I guess you can say, this dream match. It was a really good dream match. And I was very, very concerned for Matt Jackson going into this match. I'm like, okay, how is his knee? He grabbed his knee a few times in this match when he was should have been grabbing his ankle. I know it's confusing at times, but he did a good job. I'll give props to the trooper, Matt Jackson, for I'm sure he was in so much pain doing this match to put up such a great match. There were so many good spots to talk about in this match from their tag team tributes. And they mentioned DIY, which shocked the hell. The commentators even said DIY. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. But I know they're all good friends. So like
Matt just looked gorgeous last night. Oh, yeah. I had everybody messaging me last night. They were like, no disrespect to your list of husband, but damn.
He looked gorgeous, but Nick Jackson looked really good too. Like he looked not like that. Talk about in the match, Tiff.
I love that receding
hairline.
I love the fact that Matt and Nick are very different in the ring, right? You got Nick, Matt, who's more technical, and then you got Nick, who's more of like the high flyer kind of deal. So I love it, and it makes like a perfect tag team. And that's why I said that they had to win these belts, because like when you think tag team wrestling, how can you leave the Young Bucks out? Like, what would you do after if they would have lost this match last night? And do you split them up? Are they just going to be jobbers? Like, when you think Young Bucks, it's not. So it was inevitable that they were going to have to win this match last night, especially, like I said, the minute that they put the stipulation on this match, I knew instantly the Young Bucks are going to win. Now, if Matt has to have some sort of surgery done or something like that, then I get it. Then you just drop the belts, maybe back to FTR or whoever. You know, that's how you work around it. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see that. I thought it was crazy when they pulled off the Gargano and Ciampa finishing move. I'm like, oh man, like I could see it coming in, and when they did the whole like pose, I'm like, I'm like, that is insane. It was so good. And like even the end, the storytelling of this match of the ending when it came to I get their names confused all the time. So the one with the bald head is Cash Wheeler, I believe.
Oh God!
Dash Harwood is the one with the hair.
Yeah.
I get it confused.
I do it all the time myself.
Anyway, so Dash, the one with the hair, their motto, you know, just fists, no, like no flips, just fists. He ends up doing a flip at the end. to like That's prove crazy. To them. He's like, look, these guys want to flip all the time. I'm going to show them how to do a real flip. Ends up backfiring into a super kick, and that's how you end the match. I'm like, that's perfect. That is like the perfect way to end that type of match.
Storytelling, man. It's storytelling. So it cost them something
that he
tried to do. And it was, it really lived up to expectations. Now, could have they built it a little bit better? Yes, but that's okay. At least we got a solid match in the ring. So yeah.
I really enjoyed that match.
I kind of want to go back and rewatch it when I have some time. So
that will be one of the matches. That and the Elite Deletion will be the two matches I go back and rewatch.
And Hangman and Kenny, because that was really good too. You didn't like it?
I thought it was good. It was not a rewatchable match. Again, it only went 50 minutes, and I'm like, okay, like nothing. It was just a good match. It's not a rewatchable match. It's not a top match of the year. It was just a good match. It's like I'd go back and rewatch Pac versus Kenny before I rewatch this match. I'd go back and watch the tag team match at Revolution before I watch this match again. It's not up there. I felt like they left a lot on the table, and I think they're saving that for the end game.
Well, didn't I say that? Like, it's going to be more meaningful when Kenny has the belt and then Hangman goes through this whole thing to go back to Kenny.
Yeah, I know that. I'm talking about the actual match itself, the wrestling in the match. They left a lot on the table there. Like, they held back from going all out, which helps, I guess, the end game match when we think Revolution, or maybe they push it. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because now we have a couple of months to like the next pay-per-view. Yeah, so what's going to happen? Like, are we going to...
27th, they said. They already had a preview for it. I'm like, oh, that's early.
Crazy.
Lastly, we can talk about it, I guess. I mean, I didn't mind the match. I thought it was cool that the crowd sang Jericho's theme song. I thought MJF playing Jericho with his entrance with the light-up jacket was funny.
Yes, that was funny.
But nothing really happened. I kind of expected more a little bit out of this match. Was okay. It was decent between MJF and Jericho. It was entertaining.
You're being nice. I didn't like it at all. I didn't mind it at all. No, that was like I know a lot of people were like, oh, what was your favorite moment and what was your worst moment? Like me, like I definitely, this was probably worse than Nyla and Sheeta for me.
What?
Yep.
That's shocking. I'd put Nyla in. Sheeta at the top of my list for worst matches of the night.
Nope. I couldn't get into the match. I was bored.
Well, look where it was. It was like literally the second last match. If you put this match at like the second match of the card, I think your answer is different.
Mm-mm.
How do you know that?
This is bad. It's still like same outcome. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know if the chemistry was for me. Like, that's just how I felt about it. If the chemistry was off, because like, how like Jericho has amazing matches with people, but I don't know, they put a lot of stock in MJF.
Yeah, Brad, it was slow, but nothing happened in the Sheeta and Nyla match either, so what's the difference? they both were slow.
I don't know, like I said, I think I went in our prediction show, I said that Nyla and Sheeta I figured I wasn't gonna like at all, and I kind of was hoping that Jericho and MJF was going to be better. I didn't expect this. I expected better.
I think I expected more out of the outcome.
It wound up flipping on me.
I expected more out of the outcome. I think we were supposed to get, I thought we were going to get something more, not just a simple MJF wins and, you know, Jericho accepts him in. I was like, okay, sure. I mean, fun.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to wait and see. It kind of looks like they may be going in the direction of he's going to implode it from within. Maybe he wants to replace Jericho as the leader. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes further, because it doesn't. Well, now, after seeing that, it doesn't feel like this is going to be over anytime soon.
No, there's going to be an outcome to this, and it's going to be very interesting. So now also with the fact that Sammy's deleted, right? And with the whole, from what I get from all the other deletions from like all the other companies or whatever, that usually like it turns them into babyface, right? Like, is that what, correct me if I'm wrong, because we were talking about this last night. So does Jericho get kicked out? Who was it that said that Jericho gets kicked out and teams up back with Sammy and they're the Lasex gods again, but as faces?
But then
MJF takes over the inner circle. Who said this? Was it?
But then, like, what happens with Wardlow and Hager? Do you keep both of them, or one of them go? And then what do you
do? Yeah, like
Ortiz. Ortiz really is not a fan of MJF.
Or does the inner circle completely break up eventually? Like, is that the outcome? Is MJF?
That's what I first said. Is he trying to implode it from within? Like, he's not there to take over inner circle. He's just there to explode it from within because he hates the faction, or he has like this deep hate for it for whatever reason.
There's a lot that can be done here. So, but again, this is long-term, you know, bookings. So we'll see. I'm really curious to see what happens here.
And now we have 3.5 months. Yeah, 3.5 months until the next pay-per-view. So, and that it sounds short, but it's really a long ways away in terms of Dynamites and booking wise. We'll see what happens. I'm excited for this coming Tuesday. Their AEW Games announcement on their YouTube channel. I'm excited about that. We heard a lot more details on Full Gear last night about it. So it's apparently it's multiple games. It's going to be a game that's going to feature for console. It's going to be a game that features for like mobile devices. Tony Khan gave kind of like a little hint that one of the games is going to feature you being a GM and you booking shows for AEW, which sounds awesome. Like, if it's like a GM mode for AEW and you get to be the GM and book matches, I'm all for that. I'm excited for any kind of video game, whether it be on the phone or console. So I'm pumped to see what that announcement is. I also feel, like, they didn't mention this, but I kind of feel like AEW Games is having their own YouTube channel. So it's separate from the AEW YouTube channel. I feel like that's going to be a platform for all the wrestlers to post, like, their gaming content on as well. Like, Miro is going to be able to post his Twitch streams on there. Same with Sabian. Or if any of the other people try to, you know, want to get in on that gaming biz, I'm sure there'll be others. I feel like that's going to be like a platform for them to post their stuff. Or maybe AEW Games will post Miro's streams on there, like his past streams. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like they're going to make a bigger deal with that YouTube channel. Because why make an actual YouTube channel just to make a game announcement? Something else is going to happen with this YouTube channel. So
it'd be interesting, but it would be quite cool. Like, you see them like at Dynamite in the background playing at, you know, like maybe they're in the crowd somewhere playing the video game and it goes on the YouTube channel. So that'd be kind of cool. Daniel in the chat says, does Wardlow eventually turn on MJF? I've been kind of saying this for like a while and it just hasn't been happening. So
tired of like saying it, to be honest.
I know.
Like, just do it already. Like, how long are they going to keep doing this? So unless they're like, this is going to lead, obviously I think it leads to a match against MJF and Wardlow. I think that's the end game. Like, or unless this leads to Wardlow and Jake Hager, and Jake Hager becomes, you know, the new bodyguard for MJF. And that's how they kick Wardlow out of the inner circle.
I think a lot of people want Wardlow as a babyface.
He was getting chants. Was it on Dynamite this week? They're chanting Wardlow. I'm like, okay. He could, I mean, I think people see that there's potential in this guy. And I think it's going to end. Him separating from Jeff's going to ultimately end in him turning babyface. And he'll be a big babyface guy. Like, he's going to be if you think about it, there's not really a lot of big guys on the AEW roster that are babyfaces.
Right.
I don't think there is.
We're getting like a lot of heels going on,
like big guys that are heels. Brian Cage, Lance Archer, like Will Hobbs is like the only big guy. It's a baby face, and he's new.
Yeah, and I love it. You know, I'm a big heel person, but okay, now we need to start changing up a little bit. So maybe that's what is going to happen with the inner circle. So the question is like, is everybody getting tired of like it's still cool? But it's like, okay, now what? Like, because now you have like you have the Dark Order, and then you have Eddie Kingston with Butcher and the Blade, and I'm freaking tired.
Speaking about them, what the hell? What did they call it on Dynamite this week? A bunker match or barn bunker match? Whatever they call. Do you see what they call it? What is that?
I don't know.
I'm sitting there going like, is this cinematic or is the ring going to be surrounded by like farm equipment? Like, what's going on with this match? But there's some bad blood between them and I guess the Nightmare family. And the Nightmare family just seems to be growing. And I was talking about this last night with Phil. I'm like, Nightmare family at this point. And my buddy Phil brought up a good point. He said the Nightmare family are basically, heels trying to be good guys. They're heels that are just trying to be good guys. That's all they are.
It's another faction. It's just like, how many freaking, I don't know.
They should be mafia, we came up with. Just because of what Arn was wearing last night. Arn looked like freaking Tony Soprano last night, okay? Like, he was just full on tracksuit. He had the zip down with like the, you know, the little, the lettuce hanging out and flowing through the wind.
Lettuce hanging.
Like, he was full on. And he had the cross chain. He was like full on mob look.
Oh my God.
They should do the Nightmare Family, and it should be a mob. Cody should be like the Don. You know, they should be like a mobster faction. Why not? I'd be all for that. I mean, Cody dresses like a freaking mobster when he's not wrestling.
Just, yeah, they just should go do back it. To the black hair. The
go back to the black hair. Put the shoe polish back on.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So Brad said at least the Nightmare Family keeps Cody away from doing the Four Horsemen.
Well, maybe he does that now. Maybe that's where he goes.
I don't know what's going to happen, but that's what I like the endless possibilities of what we can get in AEW.
And that's where Hangman goes too. That's maybe this is it. This is the starts the transition to Cody and Hangman joins up with FTR and the Four Horsemen finally become one, the new ones.
I don't know.
That'll be interesting. We'll see. Other than that, I mean, like, Penta and Phoenix on Wednesday should be good again, too. They're going at it for a second time for whatever reason, just putting them together. I mean, I'm not complaining. They can go at it every week on Dynamite for all I care. Like,
right.
I'm all for Penta and Rey Fénix going at it. I don't like how they call him Penta El Zero Miedo. I kind of like Pentagon Jr., but it just sounds better, rolls off the tongue better.
They have to. They said, do you guys think Thunder Rosa signs with AEW? No, I don't think we're going to get anything like that now because she's still under contract. So I think, again, like what we said earlier is that Tony Khan said that he is open to working with other companies. Right. And we've always said that since we started this podcast, that would be explosive.
Yeah, if
you know, to work with other companies, why not? Because you can send over people, you know, to this company and they can send people back over to AEW and it's kind of cool. And then the possibilities, like we said, the women's division needs help. So why not?
And you know what they can do if anything with this Don Callis thing is any grounds to go off of. Hey, bring on Jordynne Grace. Get
Hell
her
yeah,
over.
That's what I said last night. I
come,
said
have her,
her
come wrestle for a match.
Oh my God, please, her and Sheeta, give me now. Or Deonna, let's go.
Or Deonna Peruzzo. Yeah, they have a lot of talent over there.
They have great talent over there.
Oh, we'll see.
Give me.
They got a lot of people talking. I saw a lot of people chatting on Twitter about it, saying like, look at AEW, they're partnering with all these companies and doing good things. It's, you know, they're kind of like comparing to like WWE is like in their own shell and they don't want to work with anybody. And then you got AEW over here working with all these companies and producing good television because of it and show that you can have relationships with these other companies out there.
Yeah. And I like that they put on the bottom that they made sure to put.
Yeah, they put Impact. I was shocked when I seen that too. Huge. I was like, oh, okay.
That's huge to like do. Like, you didn't have to do that. That's huge. But, you know, you're building good relationships as well. So it says a lot.
Because I thought it was weird when I seen him in the promo, like on Dynamite. Like when Don Callis is in there, I'm like, hey, what? Like, what's he doing in here? And then we see him on commentary. And I'm like, oh, my God. So they brought him even on commentary.
Switch it up a little bit too, which is great. But can you imagine the tag team matches that we can get? Oh my God.
Like, I start partnering with the other ones, like Lucha, and I know they are partnering with AAA because Kenny has been, they mentioned it on Full Gear last night. Kenny's been the AAA, whatever champion he is, for like 13 months.
Can't go anywhere.
And he's not defending it. Oh, look, I know he can't go anywhere.
Moxley.
It's just funny.
Mox is still like, you know, a New Japan champ too. Well, like,
it's almost certain he's gonna, I think, drop it at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I would think so.
How about Wrestle Kingdom though? Will Ospreay challenging Okada? Like, that's gonna be a sick match. That's gonna be sweet.
No, he's a heavyweight. Yeah. Anyway, but that's a different promotion. But yeah,
we can't do a New Japan podcast.
I don't keep up with that.
Or too far behind for that.
Yeah. Brad and Margaret are pretty good for that. They could start a podcast for New Japan.
Anyways, you know what? I thought the pay-per-view was solid. I think Revolution beats it for me by not a lot, but by like a slight margin. I think this full gear is going to be my second for sure. But I thought it was good. It was worth it. I was happy with it at the end of it. I mean, I know it was long, but as for the results, you know, I was fairly happy. I'd say 8 out of 10, I was fairly happy.
Yeah.
Other than that, I got really nothing else.
No, I mean, it was like I said, me personally, I felt like this was my favorite pay-per-view of the year. I was very entertained. But again, like, of course, there's always like nitpicking with everything. So, but you guys let us know what was your favorites, what wasn't your favorites, anything sound off. If you're watching this later, leave your comments below.
Yeah, actually, speaking of people's comments, I actually sent out a tweet to ask people what their thoughts are. And I think we got a couple, so I will read them. I'll do my due diligence here. And I will read out some tweets here. Just got to pull it up. Yep, here it is. So, first one we have is from Brad, actually. He puts, very solid pay-per-view from top to bottom. Only match was a letdown was MJF and Jericho, as we already know. MJF coming out as Jericho was great. And I love the finish, but the match was boring and not very good. Otherwise, best pay-per-view to date. So thank you, Brad, for your comments there. We got Chris Mallett saying awesome pay-per-view. Jeff Atwood saying 9 out of 10. And All Elite Casey saying mind-blown, best pay-per-view of the year, hands down. So again, a lot of positivity from you fans out there. So thank you to those who tweeted out. Guys, make sure you look out for those tweets. We read them out on the air if you do want to get in on your thoughts and discussions with us. And yeah, other than that, in saying that, make sure you are following us on our social medias on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Make sure you're searching up the correct All Elite Podcast. You can look up on the screen there. That's our logo. Match it up. You can find us on all our social media platforms. Make sure you're checking us out on the go. You're searching up the No Holds Barred Network on all your audio podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Whether you're on Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, wherever you're getting your podcasts, make sure you search up the No Holds Barred Network. You will get the All Elite Podcast and every other podcast that's available on this network. Good stuff here on the network, guys, so make sure you are following us wherever you are. If you're on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave us a 5-star review and a 5-star rating. Helps us on the chartable side of things, so thank you very much to all those who have. And then make sure you're checking out our Teespring store, which is newly revamped. I kind of did a refresh on it. So don't go by what you see in the video here, but there's lots of t-shirts, stickers, coffee mugs. There's actually hoodies now available on our shop. So go check it out. The Teespring's link is located down in the description below of the YouTube store. And now is normally what I would do the shout out to Darren, but Darren's going through a little bit of a revamp. So we're going to save the shout out for Dynamite. Hopefully he has everything figured out by then. But Darren usually does our theme song. For the All Elite Podcast, Dead to Me. Thank you very much, Darren. You know, you mean the world to us. We appreciate you each and every single week here that you let us use that theme song. So shout outs to you, Darren. You are our homie for life. Homie. He's a homie for life.
I'm dead.
Anywho, Tiff, I think we're going to wrap it up here. I think we're going to wrap it up. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back Thursday for the next episode of the All Elite Podcast. You know how we do, live every Thursday here on YouTube, or if you're watching on Twitch, or if you're watching on Facebook, thank you very much each and every single week. If you tune in live, if you watch back, you're also appreciated. And in your audio listeners out there, we love you. You know, we know you can't see us, but we love you. You know, heart XOXO, you are our favorites. So thank you very much for downloading the episode. What are you laughing at?
You.
Oh, sorry. Anywho, Ryu, guys, that's going to wrap it up for the full gear review right here in the All Elite Podcast, your source, or right here on the No Holds Barred Network 2, which is your source for all wrestling podcast content and more. I'm your host, as always, your self-proclaimed greatest host and the Canadian daydream, Kyle Masters. I'm always joined by my co-host, She the EVB Giggles, the Heartbreak Chick, the Queen of the Indies. She deals with my shit. That's Tiffany. And we will see you guys right back here next time on the next episode of the All Elite Podcast. Take it easy.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. Because old ideas aren't cutting it anymore. This new year, we need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's still ours to win. Start different at GoDaddy.com. A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.